Welcome, everybody, and this is a late night podcast. I'm literally recording it here at about 11 p.m. tonight, Friday, August 10th. And even though I could wait till tomorrow to record this, I really feel like I need to do this tonight because it deals with something that I've been wrestling with for at least the last 5 years. And that is the issue of, do I love money? Over the last few years, I've been accused of loving money. People have seen my online business, my membership sites, my video courses that I offer, and because they are products that I'm selling, as I should, and because I'm a pastor and a spiritual leader, and a lot of people love me for that, those very people think that I love money. And as Jesus said, we shouldn't love money. And of course, I agree completely with that. And let me say up front, I do not love money. Even if I was to sell cars or shirts or homes or sell lemonade in the corner, it does not mean that I love money. I do not love money. I love God. I love Jesus. I love His work. And I'm very comfortable saying that. What I do think that has changed recently has been my discovery of my true gift. My true gift, since I was even a young boy, has always been to give generously to others. When I was maybe 8 or 9 years old, my dad brought me up front to the church to play and sing with him, and I loved it. People clapped, people loved it. Even to this day, 45 years later, people still remember those beautiful moments of innocence, of service, of love for Jesus. As I became, of course, more skilled and, of course, getting married and needing income like any normal person, I began to make a living, quote unquote, making money, doing music in the church. But it never was a concern of mine. How much I made, or comparing myself to others, or am I worth more than what I'm getting paid? It never even came to into my mind. It was never an issue for me, and it still isn't to this day. Now, what happened about 5-6 years ago is that I lost my job, and for the next 12 months, this father of three, a man in his mid-40s, was unemployed for almost 12 months. And that does something to a man. It traumatizes him. It did to me. And so, only because I wanted to provide for my family and no longer see my wife cry every weekend and to stop bleeding credit and to stop putting things on the credit card and seeing that number go from $500 to $5,000 to $10,000, I had to do something, and I had to do something now. And so I got into the online marketing space. Not because I am some sort of salesy scam artist or any of that, but because I love technology. I have always loved computers, microphones, technology, websites, podcasting, blogging, all the rest. It just happens to be that in the last 5 years, the internet has been flooded with salesy and scammy online marketers. And so when you or others see me selling something online, they associate that with scam artists or with people that love money more than God, which is not true of me or of many of these people that I admire. In fact, and I won't go into this too much, I believe that more Christian men and women, entrepreneurs, including, yes, pastors and spiritual leaders, need to sell online. But what has changed is my tenor, maybe the way that just I come across. I don't even want to say that, actually. Those are the tools, but the intention or the motive, the song that I'm singing needs to go back to the real me, which is to give. Now, what's the problem with giving and not getting paid for it? Giving your time away, your knowledge, your music, your wisdom, mentorship, whatever. Well, it's that you can go broke, lose your house, lose your marriage, or be in debt. Not good. And the Bible, of course, is very clear that even pastors, yes, even your pastor, even me, even your spiritual leaders should and deserve a good and healthy salary, insurance, everything that you can give your pastors, pay him twice what you're paying him now. But with that said, what I see in my heart, what I feel in me, deep within me, that's always been there, is that it is better to give than to receive. It is better to give 100-fold than to receive 100-fold. And that's always been my heart. A few years ago, when both Rochelle and I had normal paying jobs, you know what we did with the extra 500, 600 bucks a month that we had? We gave it all away. That was on top of giving 15 to 20% of our income to church and to other charities. We were at one point giving about 20% of our income. And we, even to this day, we give at least 15 to 20% every month. And I'm going to say this so that you can feel like we're so amazing. I'm just speaking to our generous calling that we have upon our lives. Both my wife and I have a calling to be generous. We have been the beneficiaries of generous spirits. And I can tell you stories. We're not talking just $10. We're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars that people have given to us as gifts. And so how can we not do the same now? We're not rich. We're not in a place to give more than you or me. It doesn't really even matter how much you give. What matters is what God has called us to do. And more than that, how happy it makes us to give. It is a joy to give. About a year ago, I had a friend who was unemployed, and she came to me and said, David, can you help me with these skills that you have that I really need in order to make money and to provide for my family? I made a mistake. I said, you know, I'll only help you if you pay me $100 an hour. That was wrong. That wasn't greed. That wasn't being even salesy. My prices for the kind of service that I provide warrant at least that much per hour. I know what I'm worth. I know what I've done and studied and all the stuff that I can provide for somebody else. With that $100 investment on her behalf, I could have made her easily $5,000, maybe more. I know what I can do. But I knew in my heart, even though she was actually saying to me that perhaps God was calling me to give her my services for free, I didn't listen. And I said, no, when you have money, let's talk. And let me tell you, that was only wrong because God was telling me and has told me from the beginning to give everything away. Now, what's the problem when you and I give everything away for free? Well, as I said earlier, we go broke. And people like us, and I bet you're the same way, generous spirits, if we're not careful, we end up with nothing. Because that's what we do. And our kids that may want to go to college, or maybe we want to paint a house, or we want to drive a car that's only 10 years old instead of 25 years old, all those things suffer because of our generous, and maybe some could say, we're abused by other people. We're too generous. And so there's a balance in there somewhere. There's a balance of selling your products to someone else, not giving everything away for free because it didn't cost me free. And yet to have a spirit of generosity, which is my personal calling. Now, let me just be clear. I will charge you for my services. So I'm not saying that you can just come and have everything for free. But my point is that where God is taking me is really back to the beginning. To have this mind that was also in me, as Philippians 2 says, that though in his very essence, Jesus is God, he emptied himself and became nothing. God is calling me to empty my pockets of wanting to protect myself by charging you money just in case I lose my job or someone gets sick or my kids need help. Instead, Jesus is calling me to empty my pockets of security and of safety and to go back to who I really am, which is to give, give, and give some more. And knowing that God will take care, this is what Matthew 6 says, of every one of my needs, not only what I need now, but even what I don't even need, because he's so good and he's so kind. Can you say amen to that? Yes, amen. And so I know that God will take care of my needs. And guess what? For all of these years, he has always been faithful. He has never let me down. And I'm sure that's the same for you. The Bible says it is blessed. It is more blessed to give, give, give than to receive. You know, in reality, even the slimy marketers are learning this. I have this one friend, online virtual friend, who wrote a book called Jab, 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 Right Hook. So in other words, he's saying give, 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 and then ask. Or what the marketers call it these days, they say provide value, value and value, and then make the sale. If the business world is learning that the way forward is to give, how much more you and I that know Jesus, that have received so much from him, and that through our generosity will receive not only riches here on earth, but riches in heaven. And so my commitment really is just to be myself, to be more of who I am. I'm going to tell you another story. About 6-7 years ago, I did a conference. About 100 people came. It was a successful day. Everyone loved it. Because I was unemployed at the time, or maybe I was, yeah, I think I was unemployed. Of course, I was thinking, how can I make another event and this time charge? Because the first event that we had was free. So I thought, well, maybe we can charge $49 a person. If, let's say, 100 people come back, that's $500. Is that right? 50 times 100 would be $5,000. So let's say we pay $1,000 to the speakers and the food and the venue, and that would make us, let's say, $3,000 or $4,000. And maybe we can do four of those events. That would still be only $20,000 a year, but at least that's something. Remember, I had no job. I was unemployed. As the man of the house, as the provider, I was hoping to make $20,000 a year. Right after the event, a lady who was a woman of God, a prophetess, I believe in all that, she came to me, and she didn't say this in a spirit of prophecy. It was just more of a practical tip. But she had spoken over me prior to that. She said, David, why don't you do another event for free? And I said, you know, I don't think so. Long story short, I didn't do any more events. God closed that door. And I didn't charge, nor did I do anything for free. Actually, from there on, things got kind of worse for me, at least financially. God disciplines his kids, doesn't he? I would say that God wasn't too happy with my disobedience or my unwillingness to trust him. I would look back now and say that that woman was speaking for God, and that God was telling me, David, give everything away for free and I will take care of you. But I didn't believe it. I didn't trust God in that way at that time, but now I do. So I have a few things that I'm going to do that are not for public consumption. There are things that I will do privately. People that I will help privately. I will continue to sell my products online. There is no sin in that. There's nothing wrong being a pastor and selling. We are used to pastors selling books and going on speaking tours and nobody winks an eye. So just because you're not used to pastors selling online courses or videos or membership sites doesn't mean it's a sin. In fact, it's a wonderful way to help more people and to pay for my kids to go to college, or like I said, just simply pay for my wife's car to not break down every 6 months. And yes, to give more and more of the money away. That is really our heart. But with that said, I know that God is calling me to generosity. And not just scammy generosity or let me give to those who will give me something in return. Isn't Jesus against that, in fact? I'm pretty sure it's in the Bible. He said, what good is it to give to those who will pay you back? Give to those who cannot pay you back and you will be blessed. Yes, here on earth, not just in heaven. I cannot wait to see what God does with his heart in me. This is not me trying to be a superhero or Mother Teresa. This is me just simply being what God is calling me to be, which is a man of generosity, of kindness, and of service to others. I won't give everything away for free, so don't be surprised if I charge you, if you know me, or if you go to my website, davidtree.com/membership, by the way. The membership is not free. But I can tell that there is a shift happening in my heart, and I am excited, to say the least. I feel like the monkey or the gorilla, the elephant, the piano, grand piano is off my back. And this is the way forward, which is really just the way of the past. And isn't that how the kingdom of God works? There's nothing new under the sun. I wonder what you need to return to. I wonder what tragedy, trauma, or difficulty has made you stubborn, disobedient, or has hardened your heart. Like Jesus said so many times, let those who hear, in other words, let those that have a heart of flesh hear what the Spirit has to say. What is the Spirit of God saying to you through my example, through my words, through my ups and downs when it comes to these topics? Are you generous? Are you called to be even more generous? I believe that that is where your blessing lives, inside of more generosity. One last story. I have a dear friend who is just a doll. He has a heart of gold. I've had a lot of those men in my life, actually. About maybe 5 or 10 of these men. I believe that that's been God's grace upon my life. I have this one currently who gave me like 10 shirts and 20 pants, or 10 pants. And some of them are a little out of fashion. Some of them are great. One day, I walked into my office on the computer and there was a post-it note. I had had a pretty rough Sunday, just some usual church stuff, discouragement and blah, blah, blah. And I saw the post-it note on my computer and it said, "Just in case you feel alone, know that you are loved." And he signed the post-it note. The note is still on my computer to this day. This man is a generous man. He gives, gives, and gives some more. He has a heart of gold, and he is blessed because of it. He has a beautiful wife, a beautiful house, beautiful friends. He has me as his friend. I mean, come on. How blessed is he? I want to be like this man. To be in my 60s one day, 70s, 80s, whatever God wants, and be surrounded by people that I have given to, regardless of what they give to me. That is a rich life. And that's the kind of life I want to live. One last story I have to tell you. 20 years ago, I had this beautiful young man who I gave him a lot of my life and my time and music. Once he became a millionaire, well, actually even before that, he would buy me gifts from all over the world. But once he became rich, I'm pretty sure he's a millionaire now, he would travel and bring me back instruments, toys, I don't know, just gifts from all over the world. And for the longest time, I didn't know what to do with his generosity. In fact, if I'm him, he probably felt like I was ungrateful. About a year ago, another young man, this is what, 20 years later, bought me a sweater. I think it was for Christmas. I don't know why he bought me that sweater. I hadn't given him anything. Perhaps some time after church here and there. Maybe a warm handshake. I don't know. But when I received that sweater, I remembered my first friend 20 years ago, and I said, I'm not going to mess this one up. Since then, I have sought to reciprocate that gift to this young man. I love him dearly. And even this last week, I continue to think of ways to give him more than what he deserves, or more than what I deserve. Don't miss the signs. What is God asking of you? Are you too blessed to be stressed? Then stop stressing out. Give, 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 give. And because he's good, and because he knows what you need, and because he knows that your AC isn't working and your microwave fell apart and your kids need new shoes for school and your wife needs a new car and maybe you want a new pair of, I don't know, golf clubs. I don't golf. He will provide that as well, because he is a good, good father. May you live in the generosity of the grace of God. May you swim in the knowledge that he will take care of you. May you live in the present reality that it is better to give than anything else in this life. Thank you for listening. Go to davidtrigg.com/membership. Sign up for my membership. It is not free, but it will help you tremendously. Thank you again. I will see you next time.